Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight. I hope you'll be able to stick with us this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we invite you to give us a call tonight. We are live, and you can reach us at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight, and we're going to go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Pray that you would bless the program, use it for your glory. Help us to be a blessing to somebody tonight. Help us to be an encouragement to somebody. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ. And again, we just pray that we could lift up and glorify Christ in all that we do. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you tonight. I hope you had a great week this past week, and it's just been tons of stuff going on, I guess. It's just been busy. We had, of course, the 4th of July Independence Day celebrations on Monday. Had a great time. I hope you did, too. Weather was absolutely gorgeous, and then a number of other things going on during the week, and looking forward to a busy rest of the month. I was just looking at my calendar earlier today, and I was realizing I think just about every weekend for the next, five, six, seven, eight weekends, I guess. I've got something major planned other than just church and things, because, of course, I am a pastor. I'm the pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, located in Richfield, Ohio. We're located midway between Akron and Cleveland, Ohio, and we are located actually just off from Interstate 77 and Interstate 271, right near where they meet. And you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can learn more about me, more about the program. You can listen to past programs there. You can read a variety of articles and things at livewithpastoral.com, including our the latest article that I've uploaded. I put together a newsletter for our church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, which you can find links to that as well, all at livewithpastoral.com. But the article that I put together for our church newsletter this month, it was a short little essay, 3,000 and some words, I think is what it ended up being. I know it was over 3,000, I forget how many exactly, but the title of it is Cats Are Proof That the Earth Is Not Flat. And so that's up at livewithpastoral.com, and I look at the flat earth concept and the idea, and is it biblical or not, and where did it come from? And I trust that would be a blessing to you if you run into some of these people. You've probably no doubt found that many times they're very hard to reason with. And as I point out in the article, it's hard to reason somebody out of a position that they did not reason themselves into. And so there's a lot of lack of reasoning behind the flat earth movement. So you can read that article, Cats Are Proof That the Earth Is Not Flat, at our website, livewithpastoral.com. And of course, some of our other articles are all there as well. There's an article that I put there, had questions about selecting, finding a good church, and I had put together an article some years ago, which I recently reposted, how can I tell a good church from a bad one? And then, of course, we were talking about the shocking statistics of the fact that two-thirds of America's pastors do not have a biblical worldview, and I've got an article on that there, a shocking statistic, and just a variety of them there. You can find them and links to others there on a variety of topics. There's also some selections from some of our programs where we've selected some things out. There's some other stuff I'd like to get in. I was helping on another program for a number of years doing some science in the Bible segments, and I've got some of them on there dealing with crop rotation, global flood, hematidrosis, I think it is, or whatever, sweating blood, which Christ did in the Garden of Gethsemane, the design of Noah's Ark, and just a number of things there. I've got more that I need to list on there if I can get hold of all of the little segments, because it was in another program. I had some that I had separated out, the little piece that I did for a while on science in the Bible segments. And so I'm going to have to get some of those up on there again. But we do have a number of things there. I think it'll be a blessing too. You might find some things that'll be interesting, and plus some variety of comments and commentary on some things from time to time, all at livewithpastoral.com. So I hope you'll check that out. And in the meanwhile, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. I also want to mention that if you're here in northeastern Ohio, coming up at the end of the month, July 26th through July 31st, that's the last week of July, Tuesday through Sunday, and the Summit County Fair, which is just on the northeast side of Akron and Talmadge, Ohio, is the Summit County Fairgrounds. Our church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, will have a booth out at the Summit County Fairgrounds, and I will be there most of the time. I won't be there all the time, but I will be there most of the time, and I've always enjoyed over the years. I've been able to meet a number of people who listen to the program at our church's booth at the Summit County Fairgrounds, and that's coming up at the end of the month, which really isn't too far away. That's just over 2 weeks away. We'll be starting the Summit County Fair. So pray for us, and like I said, if you're here in the area, in the Akron area, and come out to the Summit County Fair, look us up. Our booth is just inside the main gates. There's some strip buildings on the side. They're open to the front of the main thoroughfare as you come in from the main gate. And as you come in, we're usually about midway down on the right-hand side as you come in the main gate there. And so we'd love to have you stop by and meet us there at the Summit County Fair this month, the end of the month, July 26th through the 31st. So hope you get a chance to come out there. And in the meanwhile, enjoy the program, and we've got some callers calling in, which we will get to momentarily here. Just want to update you on a couple of other things real quick. Be in prayer. Of course, we've talked about at length the Supreme Court overturning Roe versus Wade. A praise, of course, is here in Ohio, at least. I know in some other states they've been challenging this, but here in Ohio, Planned Parenthood and a number of these groups of abortion providers and the ACLU attempted to file a suit with the Ohio Supreme Court, trying to put another injunction on Ohio's heartbeat bill, which is and has been since that wonderful Friday in June, Friday the 24th of June. They were trying to put a restoppage of Ohio's heartbeat bill. Ohio had passed a heartbeat bill signed into law by Governor DeWine when he took office, and then it was promptly challenged in the courts and stopped from going into effect. And on the 24th of June, when Roe v. Wade was overturned, Ohio's Attorney General Dave Yost, sent a letter to the judge where the case was, and the judge basically reinstated the law, and drop the case because the Roe decision made the case invalid. And then Governor DeWine instructed Ohio to begin enforcing immediately the heartbeat bill. So since December 24th, babies have been saved in Ohio. And of course, the ACLU and Planned Parenthood and all couldn't abide that, so they filed suit. And then, of course, thankfully, they tried going to the Ohio Supreme Court, and the Ohio Supreme Court refused to hear it. So Ohio's heartbeat bill is still standing. And there's other challenges around the country. As we've been saying, there's still a lot of work to be done. And, well, there's other things happening in the world. Former prime minister in Japan assassinated. Saber-rattling in the Middle East. Saber-rattling in other parts of the world. Sri Lanka and the things going on their prime minister and all and resigned. And it's just the world's a mess. But I'm just thankful that we don't have to be overcome with it. We can look to the Bible for guidance. And as Jesus said in Luke 21, when you see these things begin to come to pass, talking about wars and rumors of wars and all kinds of commotions and trials and tribulations in the world, he said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, he said that we should not be downcast, not be overcome, but instead he said, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. You know, Christ is your Savior. We should be looking up, looking forward to the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ for us. All right, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our telephone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We've got John calling, Cleveland, Ohio. And John, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you. How are you tonight?
I am doing well. Did you have a good 4th of July?
Yeah, there was a lot of fireworks in my part of town.
We had a lot of people shooting them off. It's kind of ironic because here in Ohio, they passed a thing recently saying that people would be allowed to shoot off fireworks on certain designated holidays, and 4th of July being one of them. And a lot of communities passed local ordinances forbidding it, like our Richfield Village did, but they didn't make it an emergency ordinance, so it didn't take effect yet. It takes 90 days, I think, to take effect, and they just passed it last month. So we were able to legally shoot them off, and so it was a lot of fun though.
My question is: did Jesus ascend to heaven right after he was resurrected?
Ah, that's an interesting question, and let's take a look at this because there is a point when he appeared there in the Garden of Gethsemane, in the area where the tomb was. That would not be the Garden of Gethsemane, but here in John chapter 20, okay, in John chapter 20, Jesus has risen from the dead, okay, in John chapter 20. And Mary, the Bible says in verse 11, let's get John chapter 20, verse 11, but Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down, looked into the sepulcher, and see two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. Now, this is early in the morning. The sun has just risen there in Israel. In fact, when they headed to the tomb, it was yet dark. The sun had not yet come up. It was the first day of the week, which, by way of Jewish reckoning, began at sunset on Saturday. So sunset on Saturday until sunset on Sunday was the first day of the week. And Jesus was already risen because when they arrived at the tomb initially, the stone was rolled away by an angel, and the tomb was already empty. You know, Jesus did not roll the stone away and then stride out of the tomb. He was already gone. He never moved the stone. He passed through it. So Mary's there outside the tomb, and she is weeping. And in verse 14, John chapter 20, verse 14, it says, and when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. So she didn't recognize him exactly just yet. And it says in verse 15, Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Now, we have to understand, the last time that Mary saw Jesus, he had been beaten nearly to death. And his body was a mass of bruises and cuts and contusions and blood, dried cake blood all over him. And he was a mess. It was he would have been hard to recognize. And now she's seeing somebody standing before her, very healthy and in nice clothes. And in the dim light, she didn't have a flashlight or anything. And she's certainly not going to think that, well, this is Jesus all of a sudden. Plus, we also know from when he appeared to the two disciples on the Emmaus Road, he also prevented them from realizing who he was at first. And so Mary does not recognize him at first until Jesus speaks to her in verse 16. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. And when he said that, that's when she recognized who it is, because it says she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And here's a question, or I'm sorry, an answer to your question, I think, because you asked, did he ascend up into heaven immediately, right? After right. the resurrection? And so he's right. resurrected, and it says in verse 17, Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. So he had not yet ascended, but he said, I will be, but I haven't yet. Go tell them that I am going to ascend. And I heard, who was it that I'm having a moment here trying to think through the Bible. J. Vernon McGee was addressing this passage one time, remember here many years ago, and he said Jesus as our high priest is fulfilled partly in this, because the high priest, when he was consecrated and the offerings had been made, he had to take the blood of the sacrifice into the Holy of Holies, and he could not be touched by anybody or he would become unclean. And he said that this was a case where Jesus was ready to go to heaven to present his blood before the throne of God in heaven, to put it on the altar there. And so he could not be touched by anybody at this moment. And that's why he said, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended. And then later on, we have him the same day, as you come down to verse 19, then the same day, at evening. So this would be later on Sunday afternoon, late afternoon, as the sun is getting ready to set, being the first day of the week. So sun has not yet set. It's still the first day of the week. At sunset, it would cease to be. It would be the second day of the week. It says, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, even as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And this is interesting, because even though John does not go into it, in the other Gospels, they were afraid. They thought they saw a ghost, and he invites them to touch him, and he asks for something to eat, and they give him, I think, a piece of honeycomb and some fish, and he eats in front of them, and they can touch him. So when Mary was in the garden there by the tomb, and wanted to embrace him, he said, Touch me not, for I've not yet ascended. And then he said, Go tell servants there, my brethren. That's right. He said, Go tell my brethren. He said, I ascend unto my Father. And then we see him appearing before the disciples, and he apparently has ascended, and that's where he took the blood. And I also believe he also took the Old Testament saints and led them before God in heaven and brought them to heaven. And then he returned back to the earth so that he could carry out the remainder of his ministry before ascending from the Mount of Olives there, 40 days later. Yes.
So you believe that after he spoke to Mary, mm-hmm. shortly after that he ascended to heaven and then came back and spoke to his disciples?
Yeah, because he said, go tell them that I ascend unto my Father. So, yeah, he said, I've not yet ascended. And then he said, go tell them that I ascend, meaning I'm getting ready to, I'm going to. And then he's back and he appears to the disciples. So somewhere between when he spoke to Mary here in verse 16 and when he appeared before the disciples in verse 19, he ascended up, he probably applied the blood to the altar in heaven. And also I believe that's where in Ephesians, where it talks about him leading captivity captive, I believe it is, and I think it's Ephesians 4, in Ephesians 4, where it says, verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it that, but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And that, I believe, is where he took the Old Testament saints, who apparently were resurrected at the time of Jesus' resurrection, because I believe it's Matthew's gospel talks about them appearing and many people seeing these Old Testament saints around Jerusalem. And I believe even the historian Josephus recorded the account that people believed that they saw these Old Testament saints after Jesus' crucifixion. They saw them resurrected and moving around in the area there of Jerusalem. So it's a curious thing, and it's something that I'll want to know more about when I get to heaven, how all this worked out. But yeah, apparently he took them to heaven, and then he came back so that he could wrap up the work that he had to do here on earth.
That would lead me to two different questions. In other words, you're saying that there was a pre-resurrection ministry and a post-resurrection ministry?
That's pretty obvious, because the pre-resurrection ministry, he was getting them ready, and part of the post-resurrection ministry was when he charged them to go out and he restored Peter and others, because remember, Peter had denied Christ and then ended up saying, well, I'm going fishing, and Jesus appeared on the shores of the lake. You remember with the famous feed my sheep, lovest thou me, feed my sheep type thing there. So he did minister a little bit there. There's not as much written about that aspect, but there is some in the last couple of chapters of the Gospels, things that he did after his resurrection. So yeah, it's very clear. We have what he did before the resurrection, pre-resurrection ministry, and then
the
post-resurrection
ministry would only have been to the disciples and apostles then, right?
Well, it doesn't go into everything that he did, but part of the post-resurrection ministry apparently was taking the Old Testament saints to heaven. So, that seems to be a part of that ministry. And then, of course, it was empowering the disciples, because remember in Acts chapter 2, he told them to tarry in Jerusalem until power would come upon them. So he was preparing them, giving them their orders. Now that they saw the resurrection, now that they understood the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, he gave them some instructions there as he appeared to them there in the upper room. He appeared at least twice there. He appeared on the shore of Galilee there, and then of course As I said in Acts, I think I said Acts chapter 2, it was Acts chapter 1, where he, just before ascending up into heaven, he says to them in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And so we see that he was given what we call the Great Commission, and it's repeated in the Gospels, it's repeated there in Acts, where he gave these instructions. Now that the disciples understood the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, he gives the marching orders. For instance, here's the Gospel of Matthew chapter 28. And he says here in verse 18, "Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." And certainly after they saw the resurrected Christ, they were better prepared to hear these words and to believe these words and to act upon these words than they were prior to the resurrection. So, yeah, this would be part of his post-resurrection ministry here.
When he ascended into heaven to take the saints with him and then descended again, you don't consider that to be a coming?
Well, you're confusing that with what the Bible talks about, the return of Christ for us. The resurrected, the Old Testament saints that were resurrected at the time of Jesus' resurrection, they were the ones who were trapped in paradise, which was not heaven. We understand he descended into the lower parts of the earth. The Bible indicates that hell or Hades is in the lower parts of the earth. That's the Greek word is Hades, the Hebrew word Sheol. And people prior to the cross, prior to the resurrection of Christ, they died in faith, and they went into Abraham's bosom. Luke talked about that. I think it was Luke 16 or thereabouts, where he talked about the rich man and Lazarus dying, and Lazarus goes into Abraham's bosom. The rich man goes into torment, and they could see each other. They could talk across the gap between the two, but they could not pass between there. They were prevented from going one place to the other. When Jesus died on the cross, the one thief said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." He said, "Today," not tomorrow, he said, or 3 days from now, he said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." And so he was promising him that day he would be in paradise with him. He descended, according to the scriptures, into the lower parts of the earth, and the thief that believed that Jesus was the Messiah also descended, but they went into Abraham's bosom, into paradise. They did not go into torment because Jesus already fulfilled that. He said, "It is finished" on the cross. The suffering for our sin was taken care of. He then proclaimed himself and showed himself, revealed himself as the Messiah that those in paradise had been trusting in and waiting for. And then there was no reason for them to be there anymore. Now that the blood had been shed, the final sacrifice made, he then left there. He ascended up on high, taking the captives captive, took them to heaven. And now when we die as a believer, we go directly into heaven in the presence of the Lord. Before the blood of Christ, the final sacrifice was made, they still could not go directly into the presence of God. They went into a temporary place called paradise, or Abraham's bosom, which was in the abode of the dead. The thief on the cross that was unrepentant, he died, he went into torment. He saw Jesus and the repentant thief over with the Old Testament saints, and that unrepentant thief is still there in hell in torment, awaiting his final resurrection, where he'll be brought before God at the great white throne judgment to be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. So, but I was going to say you're conflating this with his return at the end of the tribulation period. So
I guess my question would be, in these last verses in John 20, when he returns to the disciples, that wouldn't be considered a coming.
Well, you're trying to make it out like it's the second coming or something that he talked about, and that's reading into it. He did what needed to be done to lead captivity captive, to deliver those who were in paradise into heaven, and he had to do that. He also had to present the blood of Christ before the throne of God, and then he had to come back to give the final orders before he could ascend up into heaven, and that's the second coming that we're talking about, where he says this same, or the Bible says, the angel said, this same Jesus shall so come again in like manner. But John, we're out of time in this half hour. That is a good question, and encourage people to keep thinking and asking questions. Stay tuned. We got another half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on your radio station. I hope you'll stay tuned. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here tonight, and we're going to go to our phones again in just a moment, but I just wanted to mention, find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and you can listen to past programs there and link to our home church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor, and you can find out more about just a variety of things there. And, of course, our latest article, my latest article, Cats Are Proof That the Earth Is Not Flat. And I hope you'll enjoy that. Also, want to let you know, of course, the program is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor. But it's also brought to you tonight by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call them at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And if you call them, let them know you heard about them here on Live with Pastor Al. And I know you're down in Florida or out in some other part of the country. You're probably not going to drive to the east side of Cleveland in order to get a pizza, although it is good. And I would encourage you, if you are on the east side of Cleveland, to go check out East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. But if you're ever interested in getting into the pizza business yourself, give East Coast Pizza a call at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And ask about how they can help you get started in your own pizza business. All right, we're going to get back to our program. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we've got Terry in Canada calling us tonight. Terry, welcome to the program this evening.
Good evening, Pastor Al.
Good evening. Good to hear from you.
Yes, it's always good to hear from you. Before I go too far, I've been meaning to mention to you, I started working, out of faith, I went back to roofing again.
Uh-huh. Oh, I remember that. So, yeah, you were a roofer.
Yeah, and I went back to roofing about a few months ago, and I just found out tonight that I'm not working tomorrow, but so I was going to go to bed earlier tonight because last week when I stayed up, I was so tired. On Monday, I couldn't even make it through the day.
Oh, my. Well, you don't want to fall asleep on the roof, that's for sure.
No. Yeah, quite the fall.
Yes.
But it's not the fall that I'm worried about. It's the sudden stop at
yes,
the bottom.
Yes, the sudden stop at the end. Yeah, the bottom.
Yeah. You were talking to John about where Jesus went. What do you think about the Apostle Creed?
The Apostle Creed in regards to?
The Apostle Creed talks about I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, and then Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate,
yeah,
was crucified, died, and was buried, and this is a question that I have a little trouble with, buried and descended into hell.
Mm-hmm.
The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, he sits on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
And you were asking about the part about his descent into hell?
Right.
Yeah, and that's what I was as trying to explain to John. Prior to the cross, the righteous dead did not ascend into heaven. They right. descended into hell, and we were coming up on the break there, and there's a lot of stuff I could not get to. But if you look in Acts chapter 2, where Peter's preaching a tremendous message on the day of Pentecost, thousands of people embrace Christ, put their faith in Christ as their Savior. But Peter preaches, and in the message, he references Psalm 16 that was written by David, okay? And in Psalm 16, this is what's interesting, and Peter quotes it here. I'll read Peter first. And then we'll go back to Psalm 16. But in Acts chapter 2, Peter's preaching, and he says in verse 25, for David, and this is where he refers back to Psalm 16, for David speaketh concerning him, and the him is referring to the Messiah. David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore, did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also, my flesh shall rest in hope. Now, notice what he says very carefully here in verse 27. Because thou, meaning God, because thou wilt not leave my, referring to David, my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Okay? Now, later in his message, Peter says in verse 29, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. So he was talking about David there, and he was talking about David dying and saying God would not allow his soul to stay, would not leave him in hell, and allow his Holy One to see corruption. So let's go back to Proverbs 16 as well. And so there in Acts chapter 2, the Greek word there that's translated as hell is Hades, the abode of the dead. In Psalm 16, David writes this. We'll start with verse number, nine here, down toward the end of it. He says this, therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth, my flesh also shall rest in hope. For that, verse 10, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. And the word hell there comes from the Hebrew word Sheol, which again means the abode of the dead. So we clearly see David saying that he himself personally, when he died, was going to be in hell, but certainly David was not in torment. He was not there. He was in that part of hell. He was in the part of hell, the abode of the dead, that was known as paradise, also referred to as Abraham's bosom. And it's a type of heaven in the sense that it's like heaven, just like the place of torment is a type of the lake of fire, in that it was, many of the characteristics there were very similar to the what's in the lake of fire. And so when the thief on the cross, you know, said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom, that's where Jesus had said to him, and remember this is before the cross, had said to him, today, not, as I said to John, not tomorrow, not the next day or anything, but today, he said that he told him he would be with him in paradise. And I'm trying to juggle several things here. I got two Bibles in front of me plus my computer laptop. And I was trying to juggle to find that one verse in particular here that I wanted. I think it's at the end of Luke here. Let me go back to the end of Luke. So you see the picture here prior to the cross, and that's what we were talking about in Ephesians chapter 4, where it talks about Jesus descending first into the lower parts of the earth, because that's what he did when he died on the cross. He did not descend into the lower parts of the earth into the place of torment, like some falsely teach, because he had already suffered on the cross and said, it is finished, meaning everything was paid, everything was done, nothing more, no more suffering that needed to take place. And so as a consequence, when he died, he didn't have to go into hell and be tormented. Instead, he went into hell and he went into paradise where David was, and he revealed himself as the Messiah that they were all looking forward to, waiting for. And of course, those in torment saw across the gap there the one whom they had rejected, the one whom they refused to believe in. And then he departed from hell, paradise in hell, the lower part of the earth, that it says in Ephesians chapter 4, and he took them that were there in paradise with him. And of course, that's where we get the thing that I was referring to when talking with John in Matthew, where in Matthew chapter, toward the end there, Matthew chapter 27, where it says, at the time of the resurrection. Verse 52, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and there came out of the graves after his resurrection, went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. So they didn't come back from heaven above. They came up from paradise below, the lower parts of the earth, when Jesus ascended up out of the earth, out of the abode of the dead. And then he took them, remember he told Mary, touch me not, I've not yet ascended my Father. He took them up into heaven. Now when we die, the Bible says absent from the body means to be present with the Lord, and the Lord's in heaven, so we do not have to worry as a believer about going into the abode of the dead. Instead, we go into the abode of the living in heaven because the final price was paid.
Because that place is no longer exists.
Right. It's been vacated. And now the place of torment is still there and still very full and getting fuller every day.
And the Catholic Church, it says, I believe in the Holy Spirit and the Holy Catholic Church. That's not talking about the Catholic Church.
No, Catholic That's literally right. means universal.
Right.
And they were talking there about Christians in general. That's an area, too, where I have an issue with the Apostles' Creed. I really don't, pay a whole lot of attention to the Apostles' Creed because I, find the stuff in the Bible clear enough, but I understand why it's there. People come up with creeds and all, but I think the Apostles' Creed is based too much on the universal church concept, which gets us in a whole nother area, the idea that every Christian is a member of this universal church. Now, the Bible does talk about the church of the firstborn, but churches in the Bible were called out assemblies, typically a local assembly of people, individuals who come together. Your town hall meeting or city hall meeting, that's an ecclesia. If you use the Greek terminology, and ecclesia is where we get the word church. Actually, church comes from the Scottish word kirk, which is a translation of ecclesia in the Scottish language. But an ecclesia is a called out assembly. So a town hall meeting, you have representatives of the community who are called out to assemble to conduct business. Well, the church is a called out assembly of believers who assemble to do God's business. And so that fulfills, that definition of the ecclesia. And so you do that in local assemblies where people come together, and all of the believers in the world today do not assemble currently together in one place. They never assembled in one place, and they never will assemble in one place until we're caught up to be with the Lord in the air. And then we will assemble in heaven in one great called out assembly, the church of the firstborn. But on earth, God works through churches. I have friends and they always talk about, well, God's working in the church and we have this ministry to the church, and what they're meaning is churches. I understand that, and they may not agree fully with me, but I understand what they're saying. When they say the church, they're meaning churches. And that's why I always say God's working through the churches, and that churches are responsible, and churches are obligated, and churches. I say plural because that's what I see in the Bible. The letters, the epistles that Paul wrote were to the churches.
Right, in Ephesus.
Yes, churches, plural.
Or the church at Ephesus.
Yeah, a church at Ephesus in one location, or churches in a region of Galatia or something like that. So right. So a church is a local assembly of believers, because we're called out of the world to assemble for the Lord's work, to do the Lord's work. And, the church that I'm the pastor of, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, we met in Richfield, Ohio this morning. The church that I helped start in the Samoan Islands, Violeola Baptist Church is what their name is now. I helped start that back in the 1990s as a missionary there. And that's not my church that met in Richfield, Ohio today. That's another group of people who assembled in American Samoa today. And likewise, I know people who are in England that have churches. I would pick the church that I rededicated my life to the Lord in, but I don't think that church meets anymore. But one church that I went to some Bible classes at was sponsored by Alconbury Baptist Church near RAF Alconbury in England when I was stationed there in the Air Force. I was stationed at RAF Chicksands, but Alconbury was a larger church, and several of the missionaries started a Bible school for people in the churches, plural, that were reaching U.S. Air Force personnel, and some of us were called into the ministry. So they started this school to help train us, get us some training. And so that church at Alconbury, I believe, is still there. And that church is a different group of individuals that assembled over there in Great Britain, in England today. And so it's separate from our church that assembled in Richfield, Ohio, and Viola that assembled in American Samoa. But we all assembled, but in different locations. So we are different churches, but we're all a part of the body of Christ in the sense that we're all born-again believers. And one day all of us will be caught up to be with the Lord in the air, and we will assemble with him as that great church of the firstborn. So, yeah.
I was reading here, just to say, I don't know if you have any another caller on.
Yeah, I've got Nancy, I believe, waiting for us as well. So,
the Apostle Creed is not found in the Bible. The Apostle Creed was written by the apostles. Not written by the apostles. Rather, it was written at least 150 years after the apostles all died.
Yeah.
Called the Apostle Creed.
Yeah.
People
put it together to help remember things. And I think one of the errors in the Apostle Creed, like I said, is they were looking at all churches and they were pushing that universal church, because Holy Catholic Church is not the Roman Catholic Church. And that was just the church at Rome that said they were head over all of the other churches, so they were the universal church, the Catholic Church. And so that term Catholic there in the Apostle Creed has nothing necessarily to do with Rome. But yeah, you're right. And that's why I would disagree with the creed. I think they should have said something about the churches, not church. Yeah, Holy Catholic Church. The Holy Churches.
Well, thank you for taking my call, Pastor Al.
Yeah,
well, hi to Nancy.
All right, and all the best on your new job, and Lord bless and keep you safe as you're traipsing around on the rooftops there this summer.
So, thank you very much.
All right, thank you for the call. God bless. You are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Nancy and Euclid calling us in next. And Nancy, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. Now, my question is regarding Matthew 5:7,
mm-hmm.
One of the Beatitudes, part of the Sermon on the Mount.
Right.
Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now, I'm just wondering if someone is familiar with that Bible verse and they really don't have the right motive to be merciful, but they say, oh, I'll receive mercy if I'm merciful, but they're only doing it. They don't really have their heart in it, because God said that they will receive mercy. I know that's sort of a strange question, but what do you think about that? If they don't have the right motive, and they aren't doing it from their heart, you know, they're not really truly being merciful. Will they still obtain mercy?
Well, you know, in a sense, what you're asking about there, if you think about it, there are some people who look at these things in the Bible and they think, well, if I do this, then God's going to do this. It's just like,
right.
You know, you could write a book called Tithing for Fun and Profit, you know, and say that, well, the Bible says if I tithe, God, if I give, God's going to give back to me, pressed down, shaken together, you know, running over, and so I'll make money by tithing. Yeah, that would be the wrong motivation, because the motivation is
right.
Supposed to be you're giving back as God has blessed you in recognition and thankfulness and even praise and worship for him blessing you. And so again, the idea here in the Beatitudes, when he's talking about the attitudes of people, in verse 7 when he said, blessed are the merciful. We're talking about people who, you know, are in positions. I think one thing that's come to my mind right now is over in Romans, what is it, Romans 12, where he says, vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord, I will repay. Mm-hmm. And he also says that, you know, we're supposed to live as much as possible peaceably with everybody and not seek our own vengeance and leave that over to him. So I think what you're getting at here is you're looking at people who have perhaps been wronged and maybe perhaps have had people harm them in some way. And humanly speaking, they may be tempted to get even. Maybe they see their opportunity. Maybe there's that guy that's always been a thorn in my side, and there he is alongside the road with a flat tire on a rainy day, and he's trying to get his tire changed and stay as dry as he can, and I see that big mud puddle next to his car. I can hit that and just soak him. Boy, would I feel good. And then you say, you know what? That's not right. You know, we're supposed to love our enemies. It's not easy to do. And I'm going to be merciful. So you have the right attitude there, as opposed to somebody that says, let's see, God said be merciful and I'll get mercy. So let me see, I'm going to pick. It's not the right attitude. It's not the right motivation. They're just doing it for what they're going to get out of it, as opposed to a heart that really says, you know, I could. Maybe I'd like to do something to get back at this guy or get even with this person or whatever. But you know what? That's not what God wants me to do. I'm going to show mercy. I don't have to, but that's what God wants me to do, and that's what I want to do.
You know, I was just thinking of Gaston. I think he's the Attorney General for Los Angeles. He shows mercy to the criminals.
And that's the wrong kind of mercy.
Yeah.
And that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about showing mercy for the right reasons. Now, perhaps you can extend it this way. Maybe you can extend it this way. What about when somebody has been guilty of a crime, they've received the death penalty, and just prior to death, the governor reviews the charges, the case, and the situation, and says, you know what, I'm going to issue a stay. I'm going to keep him from being executed and grant him life. He's showing mercy. Now, he's not doing it in order to get something out of it. He's doing it out of compassion. And I think that's part of the key there, too. You see somebody, you're not doing it. Or here's another way. Here's somebody injured in an accident. I'll stop and render help so I'll get something out of it. That's not the right attitude. We need to be merciful out of compassion and showing the love of Christ. Appreciate the question there, Nancy. We're about out of time here. So I hope you'll join us next time as well, Nancy, and all of our callers. And again, join us next week. We'll be back, Lord willing. And check us out online, live with PastorAl.com. God bless. Have a great week.
You've been listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live, visit our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs and read articles on a variety of topics by Al Davis at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, next Sunday morning at 11 a.m., next Sunday evening at 6 p.m., or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m., 6 p.m., and every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. And tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.